Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked my buddy from Georgia to come on the program again this week, and he has a tremendous website. It is ini-world-report.org. The one and only author and investigative reporter, Pat Shannon. Pat, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Hi, Jerry. Glad to be here.
I always enjoy our visits. The first time I met you was when Tex hosted the Liberty and Truth Conference here in Austin, and you were one of our speakers and got to meet you and Michael Collins Piper and just had a fantastic day speaking truth. That's one of the reasons I love having you on is because you have such a depth of knowledge. You've been covering events for quite a while, Pat, and the program today, I entitled it Propaganda as a Powerful Tool because on your website, you have musings that you either write or you have from other authors that you post on the website exposing this propaganda. And it starts, you sent me an email, an exchange between you and Bill Gray of Hillsdale College on Frederick.
Oh, yeah.
On Frederick Douglass. And that really got my attention.
Well, I got a letter from Gray, and he considers me to be a great supporter of them, which I'm not a detractor, but I'm not a great supporter of his stuff, and I just became less of a supporter when he asked for me to buy a brick or something and commemorate Frederick Douglass. I had to point out to him that I simply could not endorse his movement to enhance the memory of a liar. And, of course, I figured that would shock his into attention. But I said, did you know that Frederick Douglass deceived the history records for all days to come? And a little-known fact is that in September of 1862, so the war was going on a year and a half old at the time, he visited Lincoln and coerced Lincoln into using more of a heart-rending type of reason for this war, because the public really wasn't in behind the Union attacking the South, and brother versus brother and friend versus friend and war. But it was Frederick Douglass that wanted Lincoln to make slavery or the abolition of slavery the real reason for the war. And the real reason for the war was that the South was being taxed. You know, their cotton and everything was just being taxed beyond reason, and it was taxation without representation 80 years later, you know, from the Revolution. And so anyhow, that was September of 62, and January the 1st of 63, Lincoln passed his Emancipation Proclamation that applied only to the Confederate states. First of all, the slaves that first came to America, as you well know, were all in the North. They landed in Massachusetts to begin with, and then unloaded in Ohio and elsewhere, New York. But by January the 1st of 63, there were more slaves living in the Northern farms than there were in the South, in the Confederacy. And the proclamation had no more lawful power against the Confederacy than it had if it had been issued against China or Germany, because the Confederacy was now a foreign nation. They had their own constitution. Another little known fact, by the way, is that the Confederate Constitution had written in it, I have a copy somewhere, the abolition of slavery within the next 10 years. They were going to do away with it anyhow because they realized the unfairness of it. And so the Confederacy was already being legally, lawfully taken care of by the Confederate Constitution. But anyway, the point is that Lincoln you know, today he's touted as the number one greatest president. You know, they always have these polls every year, and Lincoln always comes out to be the greatest hero. Well, actually, constitutionally, he was about the worst, maybe until Obama came along, that is. But the Lincoln had 100 state representatives in Maryland. Maryland was about to go Confederate and become the 12th Confederate state. And the House of Representatives, the state house, suddenly found out these their members were being jailed. Lincoln jailed 100 state representatives in Maryland in the early part of the war because they were about to vote to go for the Confederacy, and he wouldn't let them vote.
Wow.
The reason was Maryland was going to surround Washington, D.C., with, you know, Virginia on two sides and Maryland on the other. There was nothing left except Pennsylvania in the north for them to escape to, so he couldn't. Lincoln couldn't stand that. But I mean, that's another little-known fact that he wasn't the only one. He jailed people of high political stature in Ohio and in Illinois too that were anti-Lincoln, and so he just shut them up. Those are the things you don't see in the history books.
I had no clue that he jailed Maryland state representatives to keep them from voting to secede.
Yeah.
You know, anybody.
You never heard that before.
No. Anybody that's.
Yeah. Well,
that's,
I'm not surprised. Most people haven't, but check it out.
Right.
And of course, probably the best two publications to get the truth, especially from the southern side of the war and preliminaries, are the Kennedy brothers. And of course, that's not Jack and Bobby, but Walter and William, maybe. I forget the other one's name. But they were from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and they're great researchers. Writing The South Was Right, and the other title is Was Jefferson Davis Right? And there are two super books on the. I'm sure you can still find them at Amazon, but I recommend that to you and the world, because it's just so refreshing to read truth.
And sadly, we don't get a whole lot of that these days.
No, that's right.
Between print and TV, media, multimedia, even social media is hard to find truth because of all the government intervention. You know, anybody that has studied the slavery of the North, all the manufacturers brought in Irish indentured servants. That's just a polite way of saying they were slaves until they paid for their travel. But they were disposable commodities.
Yeah.
And the fact that the South was tired of taxation without representation, as you stated at the beginning, we fought the Brits for the same reason, because George was over there putting taxes all over everything we did to the betterment of Britain, but to the detriment of America. And the Southern plantation owners were fed up. I mean, I know everybody talks about Robert E. Lee as a slave owner, and he was a bad guy for leading the Confederate armies and blah, blah, blah. Robert E. Lee had freed all of his slaves before he became the general of the Confederate Army. He didn't want anything.
And he was first appointed to be general of the Union Army, and he turned it down because he couldn't fight against his homeland Virginians.
Right.
He refused it.
People don't care to dive past the minutia that the controlled media, and I'm talking print, radio, TV, all of the movie makers, they don't want to dive deeper than the surface. They take what Frederick Douglass convinced Lincoln to do. I mean, if you think about it, when World War II was about to happen, we were tired as a nation of war. And FDR knew this. So he had to come up with some false flag event to prompt the patriots and the American pride to get them behind this war effort that he so badly wanted. They did the same thing with this Emancipation Proclamation by Lincoln. And It's funny that there is an article on your website talking about the connection between Abraham Lincoln and Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah. I just posted that recently. That's entertaining, isn't it?
Extremely.
Amusing.
It shouldn't be a shocker to find out there is a connection on the criminal side between Joe Biden and Abe Lincoln.
Well, it was his, I think, three great-grandfathers during the war, the War of Federal Intervention, I call it. The great-great-great-grandfather of Biden got drunk in a bar and got in a knife fight and cut a guy up, and he got accused of attempted murder and convicted eventually of that. And Lincoln, somebody appealed to Lincoln to pardon him, and so Lincoln pardoned Joe Biden's great-great-grandfather. So that should be enough of a teaser for your listeners to want to go read the story.
Right. This story is 160 years old, and nobody knows about it unless they actually try to go digging for truth.
Well, you know, when it comes to the Holocaust, the so-called Holocaust, and by the way, the term Holocaust I read and discovered a few years ago was never even used publicly until 1961 in Tel Aviv at the Adolf Eichmann trial. That's when they finally began to publicize that term and call it the Holocaust. And, of course, they had 16 years to drum up all this phony history. But a lot of people don't know that Eisenhower hated the Germans. He hated the Nazis, and so did Churchill. Well, both of those men wrote epic recollections of the war. I mean, it was like 1,400 words, the two of them, both of them like 600 or 800 words apiece. Huge, huge books in history of the war and what happened. And neither, much as they hated the Germans and the Nazis, much as they would have loved to expound upon that great lie, it simply didn't exist yet, because neither one, neither Churchill nor Eisenhower, mentioned anything about any murder going on in the work camps. They were work camps. They were not death camps.
You know, there are a number of truth-telling books on that era. One of them that we offer has taken the time and the effort to look at the census of Europe. And you see the Jews in the census before and after World War II, the total is relatively unchanged, which accounts for
and
normal.
It seems like it was like 15 million, and if you take away 6, we would be down to 9. But when the war was over, they still had 15 million. Is that accurate?
Pretty close, yeah. I mean, we're talking a couple hundred thousand difference. You can attribute that to the natural cycles of humanity with births and deaths. Honestly, the things that I have read about the concentration camps, and I constantly try to remind people of this, Pat, the number one goal in a war is to destroy the supply lines, because if there's no food, no fuel, and no ammo, the army becomes
impotent. Yeah.
Impotent. Great word. They cannot do anything. So we had stifled the German supply lines. There was no diesel. There was no medicines for the hospitals. There was no food. And the pictures that everybody wants to stare at and talk about of all of these emaciated stick figures were in prison garb is because there was no medicine, there was no food, and they were dying of starvation, malnutrition, and disease in these camps. I have read in other works that these were actually German citizens that were pictured in a lot of these images that were plastered everywhere.
And well, that's exactly right. After Eisenhower began the real Holocaust on the German civilian and Christians, and something around 2 million died in Germany after the war was over. But yes, indeed, those were the pictures of the where he'd starved the German people, and they emaciated bodies lying there in a pile. And this is one that the phony Jewish press picked up and claimed they were the victims of the so-called Holocaust. But, you know, I'm glad you brought the figure up of the numbers, because the Red Cross, another suppressed figure, pointed out that there were 80-some-odd thousand. It was something less than 90,000 deaths, civilian deaths, in all of the camps during all of the war, during the 4 years. 80-some-odd thousand, as I remember, were the, of course, as you say, they weren't murdered. They starved because there was no food.
And there was dysentery. I mean, the conditions were horrid because the supply lines had been caught. But in Victor Thorne's book, The Holocaust Hoax Exposed, he talks about Elie Wiesel, his lamentations that he was shipped from camp to camp. If they were looking to kill all of the Jews, exterminate the Jews, why was he allowed to go from camp to camp and survive?
That's right. Yeah, and why were there any survivors at all?
Well, you know, you've done the math on the last time we talked, and there was no way they could have possibly gone through 6 million bodies by gassing them and then cremating them with just a handful of guards.
Right. Well, in over 2 year period, 43 and 44 is when the Lion Press said that this went on and 6 million died. Well, if you put the figure to that, as I pointed out last time we talked, that would be 8,000 a day. 8,000 a day that were murdered, gassed, and cremated. Give me a break. I got some land off some waterfront law, oceanfront land in Kansas I'd like to sell you.
Oceanfront property.
Yeah.
You know, in his book, Victor points out that there were infirmaries that handled the births and the illnesses of the concentration camp internees, I guess you would call them. They also had a post office. They had a base exchange or a general store, for lack of a better term. So these people, they may have been slaves to the German war effort because they were not paid to produce armaments for the German army, but they had jobs, they had food, they had lodging, they weren't mistreated. Can we say the same thing about what Eisenhower did with the Germans? I mean, they implemented the Morgenthau Plan to basically exterminate the German population.
Well, on that subject, have you ever seen the publications? Gosh, it must be 25 years ago now that Willis Carto put out at American Free Press mentioning what you just did about the comforts of those work camps. But also they had basketball courts and hospitals and baseball fields. I mean, for prisoners, they had a pretty doggone good life.
You know, a happy slave is a good slave. Basically, that's what the people that were interred in these camps were, but they also were protected. And I mean, there at the hospital, there were births. So there were relationships built, whether wanted or unwanted, but there were children born in these camps. So the fact that the 6 million number, we've talked about this, Tex talked about that, the 6 million number was thrown out before World War One.
That's right. Yeah, they tried to popularize it back then, and they didn't have time to get it done. But they continued to use it throughout the 20s and 30s and 40s.
And in numerology, that 6 million number has Kabbalistic intentions. So, you know, you wait 16 years before you finally have a trial that exposes this Holocaust word, and then they've had all this time to build up and adjust, rewrite history, like Orwell's Ministry of Truth, to foment a hatred that compounds against the German people. Nobody wants to talk about why Hitler was put in power in the first place. The fact that he got rid of the money changers and the Jewish control of all of the industry in Germany and nationalized it. And he,
well, and the strip joints and the other immoral houses in Germany, he got rid of. And, of course, they were all Jewish controlled.
What is the porn industry in America but Jewish controlled? I mean, they've been into the smut for eons, it seems. And
not the Germans, the Jews.
The Jews, yeah. I mean, They control.
I call them the fake Jews, because they came out of Caesarea, as you know, and a lot of people don't. And they moved to Israel 1,000 years ago and just adopted the term of, yeah, we're God's chosen people. Well, that's true. They are God's chosen people, but it ain't our God. It's Satan.
Amen.
Satan is their God.
They are of their father, the devil.
Yeah. Somebody said before you said that, didn't he?
Yes. The when Jesus said it, it should have resonated. But people have gotten so far away from God's true word that now we believe that there are 26 genders. And, you know, you can be an animal if you decide to be a furry, is what they call them now. I call them mentally ill, Pat. So Eisenhower's hatred of the Germans was on the verge of being exposed by George Patton. And that was the reason behind his untimely death, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course, they tried to kill him with a car wreck, and it didn't work. But it was enough to bungle him up, and he was in the hospital for like a week, and they injected him. The doctors killed him because they were under orders, you know.
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
Because he was going to blow the lid off of the whole fakery that Eisenhower and his handlers, his Jewish handlers, had put out. Morgenthau being one of them, this plan. You know, Tex exposed this a number of years ago when he had done some research and come across it. How much hatred do you have to want to create a genocide of an entire race of people? It's not Christian, but
no. Wow,
man, just that part still flabbergasts me, Pat, the fact that they were looking to exterminate this entire country of its inhabitants. For whose benefit? You know, everything I do anymore, it seems, comes back to that Latin phrase, cui bono. Who benefits?
Yeah, who benefits?
You know, we were talking before the program. I believe Eisenhower got the Republican nomination after giving an address at the Bohemian Grove. Now, I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. I mean, back in the 50s and 60s that I can recall, Republican nominations were through speaking and getting the support of all the big money guys that were running around chasing little boys there in the Bohemian Grove. And, you know, what, they're 4 months away from meeting again in the Redwood Forest there in California. Well, you mentioned the Red Cross. And you've got an article on here about morticians actually finding some crazy things in the corpses that they are embalming. They're pulling, and I've read this in numerous places, Pat, besides your site, but they are finding strange-looking blood clots from these people. Why isn't this in the news?
That's another one that I was intrigued with when I read and posted it, but it's not one that I've studied. So you will know probably much about that particular subject today as I do.
Yeah, the fact that we have died suddenly, there's a video out entitled Died Suddenly, and on Twitter there's also a Died Suddenly hashtag or a handle at Died Suddenly, talking about the thousands of people that have just out of the blue died. Well, this had to eventually reach the morticians, and they're going to find something squirrely when they start embalming these bodies. And that's what they've done. They found these fibrous clots in.
Yeah, that's what I see they're talking about. Oh, well, two out of three of the embalmers are now finding strange fibrous blood clots in corpses. And, I mean, these guys got half a lifetime experience in doing embalming, and suddenly they're seeing blood clots they never saw before.
And all of these victims, I'm going to call them victims because they fell victim to the propaganda of got to take the jab, get the jab, get the booster, get the second booster, the third, the fourth, the fifth booster. You know.
Well, on that subject, Jerry, the doctors were duped also. I have two friends I grew up with. one a little younger than I, one a year older than I. So we were friends the whole time growing up in small town Mississippi. And they both became doctors in Jackson. In fact, one of them was an eye surgeon, the younger one, that did stuff that had never been done before, operation. He was very renowned. And yet they fell for the, back in 20 or 21, they fell for the propaganda. And they not only both were getting the jabs, but they were advising their patients to do it too. They lasted about 2 years, and both of them died. One back this past fall, and one several months prior to that. And they're dead. They lived about 2 years, 2.5 years. But they were able to dupe others because they were doctors. They were supposed to know something about this, and yet they were victims.
You know, I've seen so many. There was a pharmacist that was videotaped by a woman, and she asked to see the informed consent that was inside the box of the medicine, so-called medicine. And it was a blank sheet of paper, and the pharmacist was flabbergasted, and she said, "Do you have any knowledge of the adverse effects of taking this jab?" And to this day, I cannot say the word vaccine because it's not. It's a jab. It's poison in a syringe. Might as well do heroin or coke or any other illicit drug. I mean, that's all this is poison. And so the pharmacist is flabbergasted. She keeps pointing out the fact that there is not any information online about this jab. And he says that he will no longer support giving out this jab in his pharmacy. Well, that's one person. And then Trump comes out and he talked about the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And all of the controlled media pundits start saying how ivermectin is a horse dewormer. Yes, it is a horse dewormer. But
that's right. It works.
But it's also used to treat malarial infections. Trump called it a miracle drug, and it is because of all of the benefits from taking it, but it had to be knocked down by the controlled media because they don't want people to go out and take this and not get the jab. And you have to wonder if the advertising budget that supports all of these news programs, which is 75% from Big Pharma, if they weren't behind this attack on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And any doctor that came out and said that this is poison and you need to avoid the jab, but you can be cured of this flu on steroids because it's a man-made bioweapon, so I called it flu on steroids. If you take zinc, vitamin D, and ivermectin, it will cure people. And there is numbers of doctors that took on this endeavor to save their patients because they didn't buy the lie that was coming from Big Pharma. And so social media has to ban them. We have to get their viewpoint off of the airwaves because this is killing Pfizer and Moderna and J&J. Their bottom line is going to go down. There is so much that nobody knew about, but is starting to come out now that exposes this jab. And there is something I want to talk to you about on the other side, Pat. We have run out of time on the first half of the program. My guest today is Pat Shannon. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're going to take a brief pause, and when we come back, we're going to dive right back in. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. I want to tell you about an outstanding work that Tex Mars put together entitled Conspiracy World, a truth teller's compendium of eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge. Planet Earth is truly a conspiracy world. That's why Tex entitled his book this way. This big book is packed with a massive 137 different articles, all originally published in Power of Prophecy newsletters. The topics covered in this book are as timely as today's news and cover a sizzling multitude of conspiracies, scandals, investigations, and cover-ups. Never before have so many eye-opening secrets and disclosures been published in a single volume. Just to name a few, Money and Betrayal, Secret Societies, Bohemian Grove, CFR, TLC, Bilderbergers, Order of Skull and Bones, Freemasonry, Rosicrucians, and more. The Illuminati Obsessed with Sex, Devil Companies, Devil Products, Devil Logos, A Massive Golden Pyramid for Elvis, Face to Face with the Devil, Mysterious Deaths, Oklahoma City, Things Just Don't Add Up, UN Peacekeepers Raise Hell, Our National Parks Now Belong to the United Nations. How many of these items have you heard recently on your local news or on even national news? This is all part of the plan, and Tex Mars exposed this in his outstanding book, Conspiracy World. It's 432 pages, large format book, and it's only $25. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $31. You can order your copy of Conspiracy World by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. You can phone us on our regular line at 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Or if you care to mail in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy. And you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. If you don't have a copy of this outstanding work, you need to get one today. $31 postpaid. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat Shannon. Pat, welcome back.
Yeah, hello, Jerry. Glad to be with you again.
When I started behind the mic, Tex had said something. A friend of his, Pastor Butch Paul, had made a comment. And that's kind of the way I like to do these interviews. It's like we're sitting on a back porch in the rocking chair, drinking a glass of tea, and just having a conversation about everything that's going on. And there is so much that is disturbing for anybody that's got their head out of the sand, Pat. I mean, Carl Weathers, the actor from Rocky, he was in a bunch of other films. But as soon as he passed away, the one question in those who have a discerning and a inquisitory mind is, did he take the jab?
Right. Yeah, that's, I mean, here's a guy who was, I mean, you know, an athlete all his life, professional football player before he got into movies with Rocky and all. These guys, whenever this happens too, it's just you never see in the story of what killed him. They always say the unknown causes or whatever. They never point out. And, you know, people such as you and I, we know what it was before we read half the story.
Yep, sadly. You know, there is a news release from the Red Cross. You know, they're always having these blood drives. And I came across this morning. For the current blood drive, they have a questionnaire that says, have you taken the COVID vaccine shot?
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. That's good.
And if you say yes, they don't want your blood. Can you imagine why?
Yeah. Now, that I didn't know that they were actually putting that in printed form for people to answer, but I did know as far back as 2 years ago that they were not accepting people already who had taken the jab. And this is before the jab was 6 months old.
Isn't that queer? And
yeah,
that term is properly used, meaning strange or out of the ordinary. And
I have a couple of neighbors that took the jab way back early, and she went down last year to donate blood, and they wouldn't take it.
Wow. You know, I knew that anybody who had tested positive for HIV or AIDS, they didn't want their blood because it would have this virus in it.
Yeah.
But now they're taking blood from HIV positive patients for going to the blood bank. And
I didn't know that.
That, you know, scares me to think that if I have to have a major surgery, how do I know, first and foremost, if the blood was HIV positive?
Yeah.
Now I have to worry if the blood is from somebody who has taken the jab before they started questioning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to subject yourself to that? What world do we live in where these have to be considerations now, Pat? I mean, we have become a nation of sheeple that take everything for truth that we read either on the web or our local news or Time Magazine, USA Today, your local TV newscast. I mean, really, the only reason I turn on local news is to get the weather forecast to have an idea of what's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, that's about all it's worth these days. You're right.
Because outside of 48 hours, the forecasts are a guess. It may be an educated guess, but it's still a guess. Do I want to subject myself to it? Because everything else is propaganda. Oh, and there's another thing that I came across. And I've talked about this before, probably incessantly. Somebody took the time to record local newscasts from around the country and put them together, and they're all giving the same speech.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that more than one presentation, whether it's 25 or 50 reporters saying the same thing from different scenes in different cities around the country.
Yeah, so there's a reason I call it controlled media. That's a serious case in point. And getting back to the jab, there are people that are everyday people that they're not athletes, but they're teachers or they're farmers or they're truckers that are just dying suddenly. And why aren't more people speaking up about this? I mean,
well, on that subject, I think I probably said this to you last time we talked, because I have believed it since really the first few months when we began to discover some of the truths about the COVID vax that ain't a vax. But the apparently, and somebody planted this in my head on the net, and it made a lot of sense and made a lot of logic, and so I pursued it. But apparently they didn't want everybody dying at once, and so they actually put placebos out in certain spots. And one guy assumed with some facts that the places that got the real poison were the more conservative Christian Republican areas, and the more highly Democrat leftist groups, states, got the placebo, at least for now. And this is why some of your neighbors had taken the jab and haven't been ill at all, and other people from different parts of the state have already died, like my two doctor friends back in Jackson. That makes a lot of sense to me, that that's the way they would have planned it.
You know, you've seen video of Biden getting the jab and the booster, Fauci.
Yeah, that was bogus.
Pelosi. And none of them have had any adverse effects. And
Right. The
first thing that comes to my mind, and I don't know if I'm a cynic or not, but I believe that I am a seeker of truth. I am convinced in my heart 100% that all of these politicians that took the jab on national news had a placebo.
Yeah. Yeah, I cannot argue with that. I agree with it, and I have agreed with it for the last 2 or 3 years now.
I mean, but, Biden, as senile as he is, you would think that if they had actually given him the jab, we would have Kamala as our president by now. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the politicians, have you heard Trump trumpeting about still touting the jab? I thought last year when so many of his followers were bad-mouthing him about that he would wise up and shut up. But he's still saying that the jab is good.
When he allowed Fauci to supplant Dr. Atlas as far as giving him advice, sound advice, anything medical that came out of Trump's pie hole pretty much fell on deaf ears with me.
Yeah.
Well,
just like when he, went in, allegedly had the COVID and went in the hospital for 2 days and he was back out on Monday or something, that, it's obvious that he didn't have it, and nor did he get any kind of the poison.
None of the politicians would have gotten it. You know,
yeah.
Abbott here in Texas, they're prime candidates for this died suddenly thing. And you've got an article on here, and I wasn't aware of this. Since May of 23 to December of 23, 150 teachers died. I know that turbo cancers are in the news now, how rampant and aggressive cancers are that are being found in patients now, and every one of them succumbed to the jab.
Yeah.
People should have been terrified when there was a nurse in Nashville when they first came out with this jab, and she volunteered to be on local news to get the jab, and she suffered anaphylactic shock and passed out right there on the TV. They had to cut to commercial, Pat.
I remember.
Why could people be so easily cowed into taking this jab? Because the tools of propaganda went straight to the mouthpiece that everybody at that time trusted, and that was their doctor.
Yep.
The doctors were not in the know, and here we go. Pushing a
well,
jab.
Well, that's what I was saying just a few minutes ago. The doctors were duped, too. So many of them were.
Yeah.
And even those that wised up early and went public have been ostracized. Some of them even lost their licenses, especially in Canada.
Especially in Canada. There's a cardiologist who has lost his privileges here in America. Dr. Peter McCullough, I believe.
Yes. I've read some of his stuff.
Genius, top cardiologist in this country, lost his hospital privileges because he spoke out about the dangers of this jab. But people are still taking boosters. The fact that it seems like we cannot defeat the propaganda machine that Big Pharma's putting out there, it's a no-win situation for people like you and me because everything we say falls on deaf ears.
Yeah. You are a conspiracy theorist.
You know, Pat, there is a new report out that conspiracy theories have been listed on the endangered species list. Because they're all coming true.
Yeah, of course. The term gained traction back in the mid-60s after the Kennedy assassination, and too many people like Mark Lane and others were getting too close to the truth that the CIA began to publicize the term, he is a conspiracy theorist. Well, people like who were deep into the investigation at the time, like Jim Mars and myself and Bob Groden, we would laugh at that because it was just a ridiculous thing. In fact, we even named ourselves. We're not a conspiracy. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy factist. And. But it was so improbable 50 years ago. Now, these morons that have come out of the school and been so programmed the last 20 years, the millennials, they just They fall for it totally. They just how ridiculous a guy like Shannon is and the stuff that he writes, you know. Once again, they've been programmed against us.
And it starts in the youth. And this was a planned event. Don't kid yourself that it's just happenstance. They targeted the youth in elementary and kindergarten. And those got indoctrinated further in junior high and then high school. And you find that the majority of those who call us readily conspiracy theorists also have at least some college where they have been further indoctrinated into the machine. And,
yep.
You know, I did a report on political correctness and how it started, this cultural Marxism started. It got started at the university level here in America, filtered down. So the students at that time became teachers. And those teachers had been indoctrinated, so they started with their students. Then these students graduate, go to college, and get further indoctrinated. So the fact that we accept more than 20 different genders, the mental illness that is transgenderism, is part and parcel with the mind control programming that started for political correctness back in the 60s. And it's filtering, and, you know, it started off as a drip, Pat, and now it's a full-fledged fire hydrant just spewing forth. And people don't stop to think. We don't teach critical thinking. We teach critical race theory now instead of critical thinking.
They don't even teach them how to count anymore.
Now, that's what computers are for, Pat. That's why they let them have calculators in the classroom and phones and...
Exactly. It's been 4 or 5 years ago now, but I went to stopped in Zaxby's to pick up of my wife a salad for lunch, and I placed the order, and I drove up to the window to pick it up, and I said, "How much do I owe you?" And she said, $8.53. And I handed her a 10 spot, and I said, "Well, now you owe me $1.47. And she looked at me kind of quizzically, and then she turned to her cash register, and she dialed it up, and it came up $1.47. She said, "How did you do that?" And I said, "By going to school before they had calculators."
You know, when I went to school, I graduated in 81. We didn't have calculators in the classroom. It was forbidden. And that was long before we had computers in the classroom.
Yeah.
The only people that had computers back then were CIA and NSA. It wasn't us.
That's right. These millennials are something else today. You know, that not only do they not at Publix at the cashier at the grocery store, something came up where he couldn't figure it out, and I said, "Well, I knew they didn't teach you how to write in school, but I didn't know they didn't teach you how to count either." The older folks standing in line behind me got a big laugh out of it, but the younger ones didn't.
Oh, I'm sure they were offended. You hurt their feelings, yeah. Pat. You inconsiderate jerk.
Well, as I pick on them, I discovered that some of them agree with me. They realize that they lack something, and they wish they had it.
They have been so mistreated. It's akin to child abuse, the way that the education system treats them now.
Yeah.
What I like to do is, if it's 8.53, I'll give them a 10 spot and 3 pennies.
Uh-huh.
And just really, and if they... Don't, if the cash register's already open, they haven't punched it in because they're so used to everybody giving a card.
No, they fool you with that because they type in 1003, and then it tells them, you know, what to give you back.
Yeah, but if they don't punch it in, now it's a buck and a half, and they still have no clue. Or you could give them $10.53 and expect $2 back, and it's not coming. I've read stories where they had to call a manager. Who happens to be our age that can do the math and to get the proper change. I think one customer got so fed up that they said, "Just keep it as a tip. I'm not going to wait around for you to figure out it's a buck and a half or $2. I got things to do." And you know, that I understand that time is money, but Do you really want to start rewarding people for being uneducated?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't tell them to keep it as a tip. I say, when you figure it out, save it for me. I'll be in tomorrow.
You know, I remember when McDonald's went to the touchscreen for Big Mac or Filet-O-Fish or a quarter pounder with cheese, and they got used to pushing buttons for the pictures. And that was the detriment to society, because instead of knowing what it was, how much it cost, and putting it in, now we're letting automation take over, and now we've got robots flipping hamburgers, and we still got people thinking they deserve $20 an hour to stand there and take your order at McDonald's. Yeah. You know, I did a program on cause and effect, and I relate this back to physics. When I was taking it in high school, the first thing the teacher said was, for every action, there is an opposite reaction, equal and opposite reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And cause and effect is that in everyday life. And I don't understand, Pat, why people think that minimum wage jobs should be paid so well, $25 an hour minimum wage. Because I don't know what it was when I was in high school working my first job at a fast food fried chicken restaurant, it was $3.35 an hour.
Well, my first one was 50 cents.
Okay. So.
And I remember one of my friends, and we were still in high school, this was in the 50s, and he got a job, a summer job at the post office, making $1 an hour, and we were blown over because 50 cents an hour is all we got working for the plumber. Of course, we have to remember those are different dollars. Those are dollars of silver, of course.
Yes. Yeah, before they destroyed our monetary system. But that's a whole another story. But, you know, $3.35 an hour, it's because you're a beginner. You're a learning worker. So that's why they created a minimum wage, was to get you in the door, get you paid while you learned OTJ, on-the-job training. And now people want to make a career out of flipping a burger for $20 an hour?
Yeah.
It doesn't compute, Pat. You know, plumber, pay a plumber, be a plumber's apprentice, or begin working in construction, you know. That's worth $15 an hour to me. But flipping a burger? Now they're complaining that a quarter pounder with cheese in California costs $20.
Nope. Yeah, I saw on that just the other day. I was blown over. That's ridiculous.
But nobody goes into business to lose money, do they?
No. Nope.
The reason you start a business is because you are looking to make a little bit more money than you would working for somebody else. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. But that's the mindset when you go in. But then you are also giving back to the community by bringing in the youth to learn a trade, to do a job, something of that nature. But if you have to pay them $20 an hour, you have to factor in what it costs for the burger, the bun, the lettuce, tomato, onion, mayonnaise or mustard, the fries, all of this factors in the cost of the wrapping that the burger is going to go in. And then you set a price to make a profit.
Right.
And so at $20 an hour for the labor, the price of the burger's got to go up to compensate.
Sure.
It's cause and effect. I don't understand. You know, here in Texas, we tie road maintenance to the gasoline tax. So what do? They raise the tax on the gasoline, and people start buying cars that get 40, 50 miles a gallon, or a hybrid that gets upwards of 80 miles a gallon. Now, all of a sudden, the coffers have dried up because they're not getting as much gas tax. So we got the roadways are not paved. There's potholes everywhere. Cause and effect. I don't understand why that concept is so hard for politicians who are setting policy to understand. Doesn't compute, does it?
No.
It just Sandra, a few years back, gave me a DVD of a movie called Idiocracy. And That seems to be where we're at today in society. Have you seen it?
No, the title sounds familiar, but I don't believe I've seen it.
Guy is frozen, and he's the dumbest guy in the country. He's an idiot savant. But he's thawed out 50 years later, and all of a sudden, he's hailed as a genius.
Is what, it on YouTube?
I don't know if it's on YouTube or not. I have the DVD that Sandra gave me, but he goes from being an idiot savant to the smartest guy in the world, and everybody's looking to him for answers because they have been so dumbed down, and that's where we're at in society today. We allow the propaganda machine to spew forth the daily mantra that we're going to follow. We've got TikTokers out there influencing how people, I mean, eating a Tide Pod, Pat. It's stupid, but these people have been given a pedestal, and they're part and parcel to the whole dumbing down of this country. And I honestly, Pat, I don't have a lot of faith in upcoming generations because of this dumbing down and apathy. We don't care enough to teach, and I don't know, Pat. It's just it's a sad state of affairs, and you know, we're being led to third world country status, and nobody seems to be raising one whit or whimper.
Once again, it's the power of the TV fake news.
Yep, it is. It is that.
I confess, I watch more of the national news now than I ever did because I want to see what kind of lies they're telling today.
If I could stomach it, you know, it gets so aggravating, especially when the Rona started getting front and center and they're putting all this garbage on the airwaves. And now they start talking about it now. I'm not a doctor. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express, but I'm not a doctor. So I don't claim to know everything, but I have an inquisitive mind. I want to know the truth. I go digging for truth every place I can. And when I see this article or this story come up on the news, my wife will tell you, I get up out of my chair and I want to spike the remote, and I'm just aggravated of the idiocy that the propagandists are putting forth. And people are eating this up like it's the gospel.
One of the most entertaining things to me on TV is the Big Pharma commercials of the last half when they do the disclaimers. And one of them made me laugh out loud. You know, something's got to really be funny when you're alone by yourself and you laugh out loud. And that's what this one Big Pharma ad did to me in the end, because it said, you know, this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other about all the negative things. But it could cause suicidal tendencies.
Right.
Now, that's all I want to take, something that's going to make me suicidal, right?
Leslie and I do the same thing. Did you hear the disclaimer? It could cause sudden death. Well, why would you take it? Why would you want to take something that gives you suicidal thoughts? Why would you give something that gives you uncontrollable bowel movements?
Yeah.
but that's they have to put this disclaimer out there, but the whole ad is beautiful how it's going to help you. Better chemistry is not equal better living. Better eating, better healthy choices, that will equal better living. And, Pat, we're going to have to leave it there, brother. We have flown through an hour. Thank you for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy.
Hey, it's always great to rap with you, Jerry. Stay in touch, and I'll do the same.
Sure enough, brother. You take care. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that's going to take care of this week's program. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving Pat and I a listen. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.